Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio. We have a special broadcast on tap. It has to do with the resource available for those who support the ministry. It's called The Week That Changed the World by Dr. Paul Meyer. You can find The Week That Changed the World on the web, equip.org. And do remember, as always, our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. This week, the week that changed the world, is a week in which Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. It is a week in which he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It is a week in which we know that he was going to appear and give many convincing proofs that he had risen from the dead. In fact, it was a week that resulted in an absolutely transformed world. This is the quintessential week in all of human history. To talk about that, Dr. Paul Meyer. He is a professor of ancient history. He has written some of the most exquisite books. I love his two novels, in particular Pontius Pilate and The Flames of Rome, as well as, of course, have to mention A Skeleton, God's Closet, which is a theological thriller. He's written many nonfiction works, including Josephus, The Essential Works, Eusebius, The Church History, a book on the first Christian historian. He's also penned a lot of children's books, and he was the author of The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. Glad to have you on the broadcast.
Co-author with you, we might add. Good to be back, Hank.
Well, let's talk about this DVD. I mean, it is absolutely splendid. I've watched it a number of times, and this is not just a week. This is the week.
Indeed, and it's the most carefully documented week also in the Gospels. I'm glad for that, because Jesus didn't make a move, I think, during that week that has been touted or denied by some critic somewhere. And so I'm so glad we have such detail, especially in the Gospel of John, as you well know.
Paul, I want you to talk about what leads up to Holy Week, because for many Christians, the thought of Lent is, I've heard about that, but I'm not sure exactly what that's all about and why it might be significant. Why is the build-up to Holy Week, the 40 days, so critical for Christians?
Well, because it's one of the earliest church festivals. Easter, of course, was celebrated before Christmas was. And then, of course, what caused Easter and what led up to it, the church had to prepare for it. And indeed, this was one of the earliest festivals of the early church. And so it's the Paschal season, they call it. And indeed, we have here the culmination of Jesus' ministry. What happened from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday is very critically important for the Christian faith and everyone else's eternal fate.
One of the first things that I want to drive home is the fatal torment of Jesus Christ, because there are many people that deny that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. For example, the Muslims will say that Jesus was not crucified. God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. How can we be certain from a historical and an archaeological perspective that Jesus did, in fact, suffer fatal torment?
Well, when you find dispassionate, non-Christian, secular sources saying the same thing as the New Testament does in terms of Jesus suffering on the cross and dying, well, then, for goodness sake, that pretty well clinches the case for me. Whenever I find people claiming that no, somebody took his place, I say, wait a minute, this sounds like it comes from the Quran. This, of course, comes 6 centuries after the fact. So I always ask, which is more reliable source of information, eyewitness testimony or something that happened 600 plus years later? And of course, the answer is obviously you have derivative material in the case of the of Islam. And by the way, we can now trace where that material came from. Unfortunately, the Prophet Muhammad was in touch only with heretical Christianity in his formative years, and was a Gnostic heresy in Egypt under a Gnostic teacher, Basilides his name was, who claims that somebody else took Jesus' place. And this kind of remained with him instead of getting, I just put the case that if only we would have had Muhammad in touch with normal Christianity, and if only there had been a good Arabic translation of the Old and New Testament available to him, and if only Christian missionaries had dealt more directly or kindly with him and during his formative years, I cannot tell you how changed the world would be today. It's just such an incredible shame that Muhammad was who he was and was not, again, an Eastern martyr for Christianity or an Eastern witness to Christianity. That's one of the great might have been's of history.
Paul, there's a lot of conjecture on what the cross looked like. I was listening to Bill O'Reilly, and he said that of a certainty, the cross that Jesus was crucified on looked like a capital T. Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, it was a torture stake. A lot of different forms of the cross. Is there any historical or archaeological clues in terms of what the shape of the cross actually was that Jesus was specifically crucified on?
Well, I don't know how Bill O'Reilly can say it's of a certainty. They're certainly not certain, but it is pretty clear that the regular-looking cross, the so-called Crux Emissa, which is the typical cross we're used to, is the one, because there's a titulus over Jesus' head which says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And this would be very appropriate in a placard placed over Jesus' head. Now, I know in the Tau cross, the T-shaped cross, they want to have this strung out along the top of the cross beam. That's very unlikely. And by the way, you find a lot of evidence of mistaken logic in some of Bill O'Reilly's material there. He claims that he was spent all 10 months researching the life of Jesus. Well, you know, others of us spend our whole lifetimes and don't come up with pat answers. So there's a lot of picking and choosing in terms of cherry-picking the evidence there in that book. No, the regular cross we're used to best answers all the problems.
And this is one of the things you've given your life to. You have given your life to actually doing the first-rate primary research. This is very, very significant when it comes to the life of Jesus Christ, and most particularly when it comes to the week that changed the world.
Well, this is so terribly important. We call it Holy Week, of course, but what happened from Palm Sunday to the following Easter Sunday are momentous events in the life of Jesus, the culmination of his ministry, and really the beginning of the Christian faith as we know it. And if it had gone any differently, and if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we wouldn't be talking. You wouldn't have a program today, and nobody would be listening to me either. It would simply be a different world. But instead of that, we have the most successful single phenomenon in the history of humanity, namely the Christian Church. There's never been any other movement on earth which has the loyalties of over 2.5 billion people or 3 billion people in the present generation alone. And again, this could not have developed from a vacuum. This developed from situations that are well known in history and can be verified from the use of secular materials, which is my particular specialty. I love to compare what is claimed in the New Testament Gospels and Epistles and then see what the outside sources from the ancient world say. Do they contradict what we have in the Gospels, or they agree? And they agree magnificently again and again and again.
Dr. Paul Meyer again, the resource, The Week That Changed the World. Every time I watch it, I learn something new. And most of all, I'm fortified in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So often, we put Christmas at the apex of celebrations, but the week that changed the world is the real apex, because if Christ had not risen from the dead, Paul makes very plain in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, well, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In fact, those who've fallen asleep are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men, but Christ is risen from the dead. So this is the week that we celebrate the fatal torment of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, and the transformation not just of people in the past, but our transformation as well. The week that changed the world, available. Check it out on the web for your support. We'll send it out to you. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our wonderful resource consultants as they stand by, the number 888-7000 and the letter C. All right, right back in just a few moments with more of Dr. Paul Meyer and the week that changed the world.
There is one very big problem for agnostics and atheists who dismiss the resurrection of Jesus as sheer scientific impossibility and mythological nonsense. The resurrection actually happened. Professor Paul Meyer's DVD, The Week That Changed the World, gives you the hard, verifiable evidence of history and archaeology on the resurrection. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the featured resource, Dr. Paul Myers, The Week That Changed the World. The Week That Changed the World is a riveting cinematic depiction of the Passion of the Christ, demonstrating that life and truth really do matter. Get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org, or you can speak to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. You know, one of the questions that I wanted to broach, Dr. Meyer, is the extra biblical evidence with respect to the week that changed the world. I mean, you can piece together highlights of the life of Christ totally independent of the Word of God.
This is true, and so many people don't know that. That's right. Essentially, you have in the outside evidence exactly what the New Testament says in miniature. In other words, Tacitus, for example, in his famous passage, when he talks about the great fire of Rome, how did the fire take place? Well, he talks about Nero, and whether or not he leaves the question open as to whether or not Nero is responsible for the fire of Rome. But then he talks about his throne tottering because people thought he was responsible. And so his throne is tottering, and Nero at this point indicts the Christians. Now, who are the Christians? Careful scholar that he is, he explains their name for a Christ who was crucified by one of our governors, Pontius Pilate, by name. And the superstition was almost eliminated until suddenly it gained new vigor and flowed even as far as Rome, that common cesspool into which things flow from all over the Mediterranean. Obviously, we have a hostile source here. But when this hostile source, nevertheless, confirms what the New Testament says, that makes it doubly effective and doubly important. And again, we have here the criterion of embarrassment, it's called. It's a strange concept, but it's when you're trying to find the truth or fakeness of an ancient source, historians have various means. The two most important ones are the criterion of multiple attestation, which means if there are many different historians from the ancient world who are not copying from one another, who nevertheless say the same thing, that is pretty well a lead pipe cinch. These things really happen. The other one is this strangely named criterion of embarrassment. I love this one. This is when you have a hostile source doing its thing, wanting to attack Christianity, and yet in the process includes something which defeats the purpose of this attack, and indeed gives Christianity the points of authenticity, then this is embarrassing to the goal of the writer of the ancient world, but nevertheless he admits it because it's true. It happened, everybody knew it at the time. And so you have in Tacitus himself a marvelous, he doesn't like the Christians, never mind. The fact that he doesn't actually strengthens the case that I'm making.
Talking to Dr. Paul Meyer about the week that changed the world. This is the quintessential week of all of human history, the week that changed the world, the DVD available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Dr. Meyer, oftentimes the point has been made that the Jewish crowds were fickle with respect to Jesus. On Palm Sunday, they loved him, they wanted to make him their king, and yet on Good Friday, they were crying, "We have no king but Caesar." Was the crowd really fickle, or is something else going on?
I'm so glad you asked that, Hank, because this is one of the great misunderstood sections, I think, of the Bible. And it's led to anti-Semitism and to much useless bloodshed and bad feeling between Christians and Jews. It is absolutely incorrect to say that the same people who cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David," on Palm Sunday, went on to yell, "Crucify him," at the end of the week. I can recall so many sermons I've heard about on Good Friday. Oh, the fickle Jews who can sing "Hosanna to the Son of David" on Palm Sunday and then only to yell, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. You know, boo hiss, and everybody's ready to burn a synagogue. This is terrible. This is a wrong interpretation. that the early church was partially guilty of. And I can prove that this is wrong by the most overlooked verse in the entire Bible, which is Luke 23:27. Luke carefully tells us that when Jesus is on the way to Golgotha, a great multitude of Jewish men and women were weeping. There is the Palm Sunday crowd. They never had any reason to turn against Jesus. You do a survey of Holy Week, and you have to tell me, when did Jesus suddenly lose popularity with the audience, with the crowds? He didn't. He never did. On Sunday, we have the decommercialization of the temple. We have him more popular than ever there, at least because he's breaking the awful monopoly which Annas and Caiaphas had, the Sadducean authorities that ran the temple. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we have what I like to call the press conferences of Jesus of Nazareth, in which they pose these puzzling questions to Jesus, which are unanswerable. They defy logic. For example, the old grade school one we all heard of, could God make a rock so big he can't lift it himself? You know, they're impossible to answer. So these are the kind of questions that were tossed at Jesus, hoping he would misspeak himself. And Jesus gives beautiful responses, just beautiful. And people just shake their heads and walk away at that point. And indeed, therefore, Jesus is more popular than ever before as of Wednesday evening, I maintain. So this gives him only, 24 hours to blow it? Monday, Thursday. Not going to work. Jesus doesn't go out of town that day. He spends only in the evening where he institutes the Last Supper. And therefore, where, pray tell, does Jesus lose his popularity and why? And the answer is he does not lose it. It's your Hosanna people who have not even heard that Jesus was arrested at 10. They're sleeping at this point. They went to bed at sundown in the ancient world, most of them did, and got up at dawn. And then early next morning, then they find out what's happened. They try to go to Pilate's courtyard, and that's already occupied with the people yelling crucify, who are Jews. I'll talk about that in a moment. But the point is, they can do nothing but try to intercede. They can't do anything really but weep as Jesus is dragging across the Calvary. Now let me speak out of the other side of my mouth. Yes, there were some Jews on Good Friday yelling crucify. All four Gospels tell us that. Who might these be? Well, I would call the witness Josephus, who tells us that the largest single industry in the Holy Land was running the temple. Josephus said there were 10,000 in the temple police alone. Well, that may be an exaggeration. Nevertheless, one-tenth of that number, 1,000, would be three times as many people as they would need as a hired clack in terms of doing what the priest told him. It's a kind of a guided choir here. They're always asking, what do we say? And then they get the answer from the high priest. Say, whom shall I release to you? Says Pilate, Jesus or Barabbas? And they ask the priest. And they said, ask for Barabbas to be released. Barabbas, Barabbas, they all yell. You know, you can just tell there's a speech choir going on there. And then, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Say, let him be crucified. All together, let him be crucified. They're guided by their own leaders. In other words, if they want a job in the morning, they got to be there on Good Friday and do what the priest bidding. That's the group of Sadducees who controlled the temple. The Sadducees of the two great political parties there, Sadducees and Pharisees, had far more influence at the temple than the Pharisees did. And Jesus certainly had much more in common with the Pharisees than the Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in angels or spirits or the resurrection itself. And so obviously they were Jesus' ultimate enemies. And yes, there were other Jews who did this. So please, I would beg anyone listening, never tar all people with the same brush. We have good, bad, and indifferent Gentiles. We have good, bad, or indifferent Jews. And so you're going to find about five or six different political parties and meetings on Good Friday. You're going to have some Jews who went along with the government, Roman sympathizers, they were called the Herodians. You had other Jews who hated the government and were ready to violently overthrow it. They were called the Zealots.
Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you don't have The Week That Changed the World, pick it up on the web, equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. If you're not familiar with Dr. Paul Meyer's books, find them on the web at equip.org. One of the best authors you'll ever read. My two favorites I mentioned, Pontius Pilate, The Flames of Rome, and of course, many other fantastic, intriguing historical novels. And those novels, again, you can find on the web at equip.org, along with other writings by Dr. Paul Meyer. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. To make a gift that can transform lives, and as our thanks, receive the DVD, The Week That Changed the World, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit us online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.